Now, who was bursting to get on to friendship?
Me.
Good.
Do you want me to say something?
Yes.
Oh, I think what he does with friendship is just terrible. It leaves me feeling very, very cold and very upset with C.S. Lewis. Friendship came off to me as being something that wasn't necessary and something that was lacking in the intimacy and warmth and beauty that I feel friendship contains. He says friendship is a love that isn't necessary. So he and I must have a completely different understanding of what friendship is. I decided I liked affection better.
Well, that's right. Well, that's a start.
But I'm upset because I have to come up with a new understanding of what friendship is.
Uh-huh.
He even says that friends, that something I don't have the direct quote in my mind, but something to the context that friendship in one sense implies that there's always that willingness to have the third person join and the fourth person join and on and on and on. And to me, one of the beautiful things about friendship is the one-to-one situation. And always the willingness at times to have other people join in, but the real things happening in one-to-one sharing. He seemed to leave that out, and that's necessary to me. I'm a one-to-one person.
I agree with him. I think I know what you're saying about one-to-one. But, you know, say you're involved in an interest in church, I mean, something, a real meaningful discussion. It is, you know, more joyful to have others join in.
Yeah, but see, the church discussion to me isn't where I would consider friendship. Friendship to me is something very sacred and very special. And when I call someone a friend, that's a really beautiful word. And to me, a friendship is a situation in which I open myself up and invite someone else to share my life and expect that they're opening their life and allowing me to share that. And so we're really sharing ourselves. And we're in a real friendship, I find myself talking about hopes and fears and joys and failures and everything, absolutely everything, where in some real special friendships that I have, there's nothing about myself that I've kept to myself. Now, and that, this intimacy and openness and beauty of this kind of a thing, I don't feel that, you know, that C.S. Lewis has in his thing on friendship. So maybe what to me I'm including in what I call friendship is not just that. But in that situation, I don't open myself up and share everything about myself with another person, and I'm very happy to have the third one drop in and the fourth one dropping in. And, you know, here we are with the laundry spread out and everybody's coming in.
I don't think he means that.
But I think that's the difference between a relationship and a friendship. That's what I couldn't differentiate between what he was talking about. What is the difference between, you know, you have a lot of acquaintances, but how many really, just personally, but you know, how many friends? You say, these are my friends, and these others I like, you know, I love it, but they're acquaintances. It doesn't get on a personal level, which is maybe true.
A friend to me is someone I'm very comfortable with, mm-hmm. and I can take off my mask and mm-hmm. be myself. I have friends, and I have friends.
Here, here.
One with a capital F and one with a small F.
Right? I suppose. There are various degrees of friendship.
You wouldn't limit it to one-to-one, would you?
Pardon?
You wouldn't limit it to one-to-one, would you?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes. There are some people I tell a little bit more about myself. I don't care to have the whole world know everything about me, but most people know most of it. I'm not a very good hider, you know.
Bring me up on
it. It all comes out.
You said that friendship to you meant sharing yourself and expecting your friends to share themselves with you. That's a really tricky thing. You expect something from someone. I think that friendship should be, you don't expect anything of your friend. you know that if they're your friends, they'll give as much as they can, you know. And expecting is a really, really dangerous, tricky word. You know, it's like assuming something.
Maybe expecting isn't the word I really want, but I would say to you, I'll be me and you be you, and we're going to get along just fine. You know, I'm not asking you to meet me where I am, but will you allow me to be where I am, and I'll allow you to be where you are, kind of thing. And I don't know if that's an expectancy or not.
You're not talking about a sticky friendship where you two got to be together. You're not talking
about that.
Oh, goodness,
no.
No, because I've seen that where they can't be in a different circle. And they.
Oh, no.
You're not talking about that.
No, that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to question this, weren't you?
I get some big stuff.
Well, that's what we're here to share.
Well, I don't think Mr. Lewis said that friends were people who constantly invite someone else in. He says that it's an outgrowth of companionship. And you meet someone and you say, well, you too feel the same way about this that I do. And that is kind of a rare thing because we all have these different reactions to things, and it's so rare to find
someone who feels the way you do about it, really, who likes the same book. Yeah. Lewis does say that he figures that friendship will allow 30 to 4. Very glad there's a great quote in there because I heard him sing it myself. But when I read it, I didn't feel that meant that he wasn't allowing you to get off with one specific friend and have your close man-to-man conversation. I felt that what he was saying was, if you have just you and your friend, period, to the exclusion of everyone else, you're limiting yourself and the other person to too small a dimension, that you grow by inviting somebody else to be a friend, not necessarily always in the room with you at the same time as the other friend, but someone to help build your personality, because when we are friends, our friends become part of us.
Now, you used a significant phrase, man to man. And all the expressions so far have been feminine. And we could perhaps then raise the question whether what has been put before us so far is a characteristically feminine way of thinking about friendship, and that in Lewis we have something that is a little more characteristically masculine in thinking about friendship. Are there any men who would come out on Lewis's side?
Yes, I think what Mr. Lewis is describing is sort of a pure friendship. And when I hear these others in joining in and saying and being critical of this, I think they're introducing different types of love into this friendship, which he does in a way that he's just describing pure friendship between two people, neither demanding nor extracting something, but sort of a communion, a general appreciation together, and inviting other people in. This is augmented because he, as it was pointed out, another person can extract something or can add to a friendship by complimenting another person in a way in which you aren't able to. So with the three of you, the four of you, the possibilities grow in what your communications can be, what you can enjoy together, humor, a discussion, anything is bound to increase in demand. And it gets away from a real personal type of almost a love that I think that the women are talking about. It's just enjoyment together rather than bearing one's soul.
There was another book. Well, we'll be tolerant.
Sorry.
I was just going to pick up the thing with the man to man, and I think you just threw that in too to try and make it a and I think that just as we found in premarital discussion groups that I'm his wife found that you know, there are, we all knew, but some of the kids didn't realize that there are a lot of differences between men and women that are not only just specific, but do go along with that I am a woman and the man is a man. And I think that in ways these friendships probably are different. I think it is significant that women have spoken the way they have. I also think that in our society, women have the chance for more intimacy in a normal way, quote, at least in the eyes of society, than men do. I think men, it's breaking down somewhat, but they traditionally have been very hemmed in with this fear of being too much man, man alone with a man. A woman can have a friend over the coffee and it's fine. If a man does this too often, it's suspect. And I think men, you know, unfortunately lose some of the wonderful opportunities that are given to women. Perhaps we have more time, we have the coffee pot on, and and I think this is one of the great joys and one of the great blessings that women have. I also agree with her a little bit that Lewis doesn't divide these things up into four colors, red, white, blue, and orange, or something, but that it is if friendship and love and affection and everything are painted on blue, spin them around. And there is a blurring of these things in all our relationships. And that we should not be scared to death of learning into
I would be a little concerned, though, about a friendship where I sat down to a cup of coffee on a one-to-one basis and have everybody pour out their life to me. I would feel like a consultant of some sort, and I would lose this friendship. You know, I'm going to go over there for coffee again. You know, I'm depressed because I know it's coming. You know, this, I don't see as friendship. It's something I would rather avoid. I don't know. Maybe women talk about something more than what's in their life and what's disturbing them. But I think friendship is something to enjoy together in a group, a camaraderie, you know, not getting down to a one-to-one personal level and bearing one's soul. This is why I don't think C.S. Lewis meant to interpret friendship as this, and I certainly don't either.
May I suggest, I think you're a man.
I take that as a compliment.
I think just from what the women have said, that they would appreciate what Nikki said originally, because a woman doesn't have an all-compelling job as much. Now, if they're women's liberty, you go ahead and shoot me down, but a job that is as much all-compelling to her as a man does. A man feels fulfilled by what he's doing. A woman needs to be fulfilled a little bit by relationships, and sometimes her husband doesn't have all the time to talk to her, that maybe one of her friends does. Now, granted, if you're taking all and giving none, that's a pretty lousy relationship. Because if I had to sit down and have everybody come in and cry on my shoulder every morning over coffee, I'd die. But if my special friend comes with her troubles, and I, at the same time, can lay my troubles on her,
you,
I think that's a marvelous relationship.
You would think that a woman's friendship is more dependent on
Probably.
Than a man.
I don't think that's the basis for the friendship or for your soul. I think it's just if the need arises, if you have a friend that feels free enough to do this. But, you know, I don't think our friendship is based on
doing what comes naturally.
You know, I think the difference, one of the differences in experience and observation with men and women is the fact that a lot of times men don't clutter their minds with the trivia that women clutter their minds with, which to them is not trivia. Because I know that sometimes during the day things happen that I think, oh, you know, they're really big to me. But I don't think to my husband when he has really big things. I don't think that is important, but I have a friend and I can go over and say, oh, what am I going to do about this that happened with a child or something I've said to someone that bothers me or whatever. And she can discuss it with me. And then I feel much better, and when my husband comes home, I don't have to say, well, get a solution out and fall apart the imitator. I don't run all over the neighborhood and stop in the supermarket and close this on everybody I see. But I do have a friend that I, you know, that I feel like if I had to do it, she's always got the coffee pot on and there I could go, you know, if I had to.
Nor?
Could you do it without coffee?
I think that I'm a man.
That remains to be proven, perhaps. We'll wait for the evidence.
I find myself not responding to the comments down here, and responding to the comments that are coming from women. I would talk about friendship as openness. I mean, that's just the way I do it for myself. A friend is someone with whom I can be open and who is open to me. And I think that's a very big thing. I think the biggest thing in my life, apart from Jesus Christ, or with Jesus Christ, or even with another Jesus Christ or something, is my friends. And there's nothing in the world that counts as much as to have people with whom I can be open. And if that means troubles, okay. If that means joys, that's okay. If that means silence, that's okay. But whatever it is, you know, we're open. And I value that very, very highly. And so that's just a I don't know. I'm a little queasy about the masculine feminine business, I guess, because I would like, you know, to be a man and to be able to you know, to have to value very highly friendship as openness.
The verdict of the jury.
Well, I get that feeling, you know, Byron says love to a man is a thing apart to the woman's whole existence. Well, I don't know if I buy all that, but I, in the conversations, I'm getting this thing. And still, you talk about a friend, but I know where there are a group of friends, any one of which, whatever. It really doesn't demand anything of them. It's a free relationship. I don't have to open up to them, but if I choose to, I can. And I don't expect them to do the same to me. But it's a friendship that's honest in that it doesn't demand. I don't know if that's honesty, but it doesn't. I don't have to do something to earn it. It's just, you know, it's one of these things. And as he said, you know, these friends are there. And I don't know them intimately. Like you say, the laundry, it never dawned on me that I should expect that from them. Although if they had a problem, I knew they could. Or less person.
This freedom, this easy flow,
right,
is somewhere at the heart of the matter.
I find myself wanting to go on to three friendships rather than four loves. In that, when I think about it, I think of people that I meet
with this aha, you think the same way as I do, or you feel the same way as I do, and I call them kindred spirits, and this can be discovered in an hour or two, mm-hmm. or in an evening, and it's a great thing, you know, but it may not go any further than that. We may part, that's the end of it. Then I think of people that I would call confidants, and they act to me kind of as a counselor, and here is where I would open myself up and expect feedback and maybe some sharing and so forth. Then I get to the people that I would call friends, and these are the people I think she's talking about, people that I have had as friends for 30 years that I can maybe not see them or not write them a letter or not send them a gift for months on end, and when we get back together there's the same feeling and the same realization that they don't care that I didn't write them a letter. They still love me. And those are the ones that I would, you know, I just know they're my friends.
That depends on your age, really.
I can't remember a time when that wasn't so. Well, when do you click into this?
I don't know. I find that when I lose track of my friends now, and I see them maybe in 6 months or a year, they've changed so much that it's hard to get back to that, what we had before. You know, and it's gotten to a point where I say, well, you know, if that's the way it's going to be, maybe we don't have anything in common anymore, and just to go on to something else. I wonder where the transition is really made, where, you know, you have friends who are going to be your friends forever and friends that aren't, or you lose track of, or you pass by, or they pass you by.
Isn't sharing the basis? Sharing is the basis, not the licenses and the differences. Mm-hmm. Somehow Christian friendships I find so different from other friendships, because we always have Christ in common, and getting together after an absence of time, we don't reminisce and go back and, you know, remember when type of jazz, but we pick up where we are now and we go on together, and the commonness, the oneness hasn't changed because we're still in Christ. That's the essence of the sharing that, you know, keeps us one.
But aren't you sort of in Christ together with a lot of people mm-hmm. who aren't your friend, the way Lewis speaks of friend? Or indeed that you might have Lewis kind of friend with utter unbelievers.
It's important to have friends with unbelievers, because not only the forcing of your belief from them, but because of the friendship, they too, you know, will feel the friendship, and isn't that what Christ started out with all of them?
Well, friendship is hardly a should.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say, I see somebody who just walked into the room, I should be a friend of that person.
I don't mean should. I mean, if and when you are with people, and they can be quite nice too, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm not denying that. But if your purpose in the friendship is to bring them to Christ.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant that might eventually rub off. I'm thinking of a girl that I still am friends with. And when we were little, she said to me, now that we've grown up, she said, I knew that you were always going to church with your family, and you had something that I didn't have. And I didn't realize it all these years, that I thought they went to church, but we didn't see each other over the span of time. And I never realized that, but now she is, you know, Christian and going to a Baptist church, but she shared this with me later on, and I never knew what was going on all these years. But I was still her friend. You know, maybe we were dead as far as talking about things of Christ together, but I didn't know.
should be freedom in friendship, is what she's saying.
Now. Yeah.
Could have friends any place. Wouldn't be limited to Christian friends.
And there are some friendships that you have greater enjoyment of with a non-Christian person because of the particular thing that you are sharing together. Mm-hmm. He may have an appreciation of something that you love very much or have also an appreciation for, and you can meet together in that and have a happy time. You have a happy time seeing Eeyore, you see, and then you can also have a happy time not seeing Eeyore. You don't have that kind of compulsion about it. But that quality of friendship that you've had there, you may find nowhere in your whole congregation. There's just nobody there that you can go out and play with in that particular game. And some of the things yesterday about putting a kind of Christian weight upon that can be destructive, and not let that be the thing, the good that it is. But insisting that it's got to be more or another kind of thing. When we came to think of who would be godparents for our children, we faced this question. And most of the godparents that we chose were not the sort of people that would come under Lewis's heading of friendship. People in association with whom we didn't have the particular delights of friendship, but people whom we knew we could trust no matter what. We could count on them for our kids' sake. And we, if one looks at friendship as a friend, as someone who's got something sort of that answers to your call in that kind of come out and play with me sort of game, most of the godparents didn't qualify that way. We didn't, they were not the people in whose company we most delighted. But they were profoundly Christian people that we knew we could count on for our kids' sake, and their being reared as Christians. And I think Lewis is helping us not to muddle things up, but to let each thing be the value and the full size that it can be. There are some people who, what goes on is a sort of, won't you come out and play with me? And they come out and you both know the game and love the game. And you can have the picture of the game or the dance. But it's that kind of thing that's somehow outside there, that's sheer fun and enjoyment in itself. We don't have to sort of draw lines around it and say it can only be that. It may grow in all sorts of directions, but we ought to allow, we ought to recognize that for the tremendous thing that it is in our lives. Some people never know that. And I suppose the number of friends with whom one has known that, you, for many of us, you could count on the fingers of one hand, that kind of kindred spirit sort of person. But when that kind of gift is its own special kind of gift to be rejoiced in for its own sake and not to be sort of burdened up with demands that it be something else or something more. He calls it the most angelic kind of love, the most unself-regarding kind of love, that where you find this kind of rapport and sort of getting together and sharing something, it doesn't matter who he is or what's his family or his profession or how much his money or how old he is. Here is something that can transcend all of that, and still this can happen. And to have the freedom to be unencumbered by such considerations for that sharing to happen is what he calls an angelic kind of love. And to have the freedom to be unencumbered by such considerations for that sharing to happen is what he calls an angelic kind of love. And that we don't... any kind of insistence or demand is here also destructive. And we need to let each of our friendships be the sort of things that they are. Sometimes you can go out and play with a little child who comes out and plays with you. And you have your game together, and you ruin that if you then set that as beside the sort of particular friendship that there can be between a woman and a woman, and a man and a man, and a man and a woman, or a little child and an old person. Each one of these things has its own particular quality, and one of the case that Lewis touches on is the defense of men friendships against women incursions. He makes the case not against women because they're women, but because they are incompetent to share in the particular sort of talk that's going on. I think one has to contextualize, that's a good thing to do, these sort of remarks. This is written in England and written by a man who spent most of his life in a college of one of the ancient universities. And that is a man's world and has a potential for friendship and sharing between men in their particular pursuits, sciences, studies, discussions, the whole thing. And he points to the occasions when a woman not qualified for that kind of discussion coming into that circle ruins it, because you have to relate with her in different ways, and while you're doing that you can't get on with what's the real fun of it all, of the particular discussion matter that's being played with and gone after at that time. One might say the disparity might be one of of age as well as sex, or even of nation or culture. But the egalitarian insistence that that anybody has a right to be in that is of its very nature a kind of insistence which runs counter to the very thing that friendship is. Now, in America, we have a society in which women have a more highly privileged and dominant position than in any other, and they have enjoyed privileges and equalities and preferences as in no other nation, and the sort of disparity that there is in the background out of which Lewis speaks, one can't just sort of say transfer over to America. In America it's a different position. But the dangers that he points to are it's well to be aware of. One of the things I wanted in the introduction yesterday was to point to the fair-mindedness with which Lewis puts the matter positively for all it's worth, and then he sort of puts the case against the dangers this or what how all this might go wrong, and then the third stage is his this he usually says, well, now this is kept from idolatry, from ruination, from being too much or too little, as it is held within the greatest love of all. We, whenever we put a position, we must always confront it with the strongest possible position against it, and then weigh up the consequences. We are so much under the pressure of promotion and advertising, trying to sell, persuade, that this whole fair-mindedness is something that we have to take particular pains to cultivate. And in this, Lewis is most helpful. And I think he perhaps also demonstrates in that some of the sort of detachment and capacity for abstract thought that, and then clothing that so vividly in the language that he uses, that shows a kind of particular masculine talent that has its own particular kind of potential for friendship that he does not wish to see eroded by muddling in other kinds of friendship. However, any more?
One question. What kind of a love does he have for his American lady that he writes to in his letters to an American lady?
Oh, the letters to the American lady. I'm almost through that.
I love the feeling I had about Lewis when I finished his letters to an American lady, but now I want to go back in the light of this and reread it.
Very late.
Well, this is a different lady. You're talking
this
about...
This is his American, the American lady that he has just a correspondence relationship
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does he have an affection for her, a friendship?
That's what I was wondering as you were talking. What about a mere friendship?
I don't say mere. I've never let anything be mere.
A man and a woman.
That's not mere.
Is that... Does that fall apart because we know somebody would make a comment? I sit down and talk friendly with another. You haven't talked about this kind of a. Like he has, like the letters to my American lady. You talk about women to women, men to men. What if there was a friendship? Could there be? There's other kind of friendship.
Between a man and a woman?
Yeah. Just friendship.
Yes. That's that he. He speaks of.
I haven't read the book. So
no.
I think that's one of the great things of marriage. When after I was married, I really felt free then to have friendships with and friends of my husband. You know, that before I was married, I never really had that feeling.
Why not? Because of the
wife. I felt that I could. I'm another generation. I wouldn't have felt free to proceed that far without looking too forward because this is a fellow. But that's broken down now. You're much more natural and your potential for all sorts of things is much greater. I would say, because you're in my
right. We had a discussion earlier in the summer, and some girl had made the comment that she had never met a happily married couple, but all the men she liked were married. And at that time, those of us who were married understood that the man was free to be open to her because she was not a threat to him anymore. And so he could be open in his response to her, and this is why she liked married men. And not realizing, well, it was marriage that had made it so great. He was married and he was free. And so then she didn't realize why she could be free with him. This is what happened. She was not a threat to him at all in his marriage.
So one's got beyond all the agony of adolescence.
Right.
Well, maybe we'll get into some of that agony tomorrow.